was when I realized I was in the worst pain of my life. I sucked in my breath and gritted my teeth. My left leg must have been tucked behind me when I hit the wall, because it was shattered now, broken clean in the middle of the shin, bloodied white bone jutting through. My foot was twisted around completely backward, like a doll a kid had played with too roughly. My chest felt like it was on fire, probably from a couple of broken ribs, and every time I coughed, I spat blood. I was going to die here, wasn't I? Yeah. No way I made it out of this. And even though a tiny part of me screamed in horror, the rest of me was surprisingly calm. Better to die here than back in the tower at Raz's hands. Better here than in Bridgetown. Better here than in the Scarling's mine. Better here than on the road. Better here than on White Sand Beach. Better to die here than live a lie. If I died here, I'd die Tilla of the tunnels. I could live with that. A whimpering from somewhere in the smoke snapped me out of my calm. I squinted and could make out a hunched, sobbing form. It was Miles, his fancy tunic torn, his face caked with soot. Lady Robin Hampstead lay next to him on her stomach, not moving. There was something weird about her head, and then I realized it wasn't there at all, crushed under a huge stone chunk. I tried to say something, but then another shape stepped in front of me, tall and thin, clad all in black. A hand grabbed my jaw and slammed my head back into the wall, and then a face leaned right into mine.
"You little bitch," my father snarled.
A long cut on his forehead bled into his eyes, and his hair was messy and burned. Any love or pride he'd had was gone. All that was left was hot, hating rage.
"You stupid, traitorous little bitch!"
He pulled a small, slender knife out of a sheath on his boot and jammed its cold tip against my throat.
"Do you have any idea what you've done? Any idea what you've cost me?"
I felt a sting as its trembling blade punctured my skin.
"I should kill you right now. I should cut your ungrateful, selfish little throat."
And now I wasn't scared at all. Not of him, not of his knife. I was tired and sore and angry. Angry at everything he'd put me through. Angry that I'd even wanted his worthless love. I looked right into his hateful green eyes, and I forced my cracked lips into a smile. "Then do it," I said. He stared at me, nostrils flaring, hand shaking. But he couldn't do it. Even after everything I'd done to him, he couldn't hurt me, his first daughter, his true daughter. He turned away with a roar and hurled his knife at the tunnel's wall, where it bounced with a clatter, and I grinned and laughed. Voices sounded from a distance, people shouting. More Kent men? Or was it Lyriana and Galen? My father collected himself with a deep breath, then walked over and jerked Miles up to his feet by his collar.
"Quit your blubbering," he commanded. "We have to go now."
"My mother,"
Miles moaned.
"She killed my mother. She killed my mother!"
"Yes, she did. Which makes you the lord of House Hampstead. You know what that means, don't you?"
My father leaned down into Miles's face.
"It means we have a war to win."
Miles sniffled but nodded. Without so much as another glance back at me, the two stormed off, leaving me alone, slumped against the wall, mangled, bleeding, choking on smoke, unable to move. I hoped Zell was okay. I hoped Lyriana was okay. That was all I cared about now. I smiled and closed my eyes. The darkness took me. Chapter 30 Daylight. A beige canopy swaying gently. The smell of herbs and earth, and freshly cut flowers. Where? I blinked awake. I was lying on a stretcher in some kind of a makeshift tent, wrapped up in a thin white sheet. A pair of iron braziers stood on opposite sides of my bed, and there was obviously something weird burning inside them, because the smoke coming out was green and smelled like spices and cinnamon. I had no idea how, but my body didn't hurt at all. It felt numb and distant, like I was just a floating soul.
"Hey there,"
Zell said from somewhere nearby.
"Welcome back."
I craned my head to the side, and there he was, the color back in his face, looking just as strong and healthy as he did when I'd met him. He sat on a stool by my bedside, and his eyes lit up as he smiled. He'd made it. He was alive. And so apparently was I.
"Zell?"
I choked out, my throat scratchy and raw.
"You're okay?"
"I am. Got a new scar, too."
He lifted up his shirt to show me his stomach. Right where his father had slashed him, just left of his abs, was a wide white strip of scar tissue. It was faded, impossibly so, like something from a wound suffered a decade ago.
"How?"
"The sisters of Kaya."
Zell jerked his head to the side, and I noticed a woman sitting behind him. Her face was hidden behind a golden gossamer veil, but I could make out dark skin and green eyes. She held her ringed hands together and rocked back and forth slightly, humming softly.
"They saved both our lives."
"Well, we saved theirs." I lifted my head just a little to check myself out. My leg was splinted and bandaged up, the bones set with a pair of metal rods. My right forearm was wrapped up just as tightly, but there was some kind of weird flowering vine tied around the outside of the bandage, like a string on a present. The vine pulsed and throbbed, just a little, like someone giving my arm a gentle squeeze. I clenched my hand into a fist and lifted it up and moved it around. It all worked.
"Whoa."
Zell reached out and took that hand, gently lacing my fingers with his. Somehow that touch made this all feel real. I'd actually survived, and there was nothing in the world that felt better than Zell's skin against mine.
"My thought as well. What these sisters can do, it's beyond anything I've ever imagined. I see now why they are so powerful and so feared."
"Liriana," I asked, suddenly remembering. "Is she okay?"
"She's fine. Better than fine, really. Would you like to go see her?"
Zell glanced back at the sister in the corner of the tent.
"May I take Tila out for a walk?"
The sister stopped humming, and the vine around my arm stopped throbbing. "That should be fine. Just make sure to come back before sunset. Her wounds are still healing." Even through the veil, I could see her smirk. "Don't do anything too physical."
"Too physical? Like what?"
Zell asked, and then got it.
"Oh, I mean, we wouldn't. Not that we couldn't. I just mean, not now. Necessarily, unless she wanted to, but we wouldn't."
I laughed and pressed two fingers to Zell's lips. Him being flustered was maybe the most adorable thing I'd ever seen. "We'll be fine," I said, and Zell gave my fingers the tiniest kiss, and I decided maybe I'd push just how physical we could get after all. Zell helped me out of the bed and slung a strong arm under my shoulders to help me walk. I leaned into him, maybe a little more than I had to, and we made our way toward the tent's entrance. My legs felt floaty and numb, my feet tingling with each step. How long was I out?
2 days.
Zell pushed open the tent's flap, and we stepped out, squinting against the daylight. We were in what appeared to be a makeshift army camp, a cluster of tents stretching out in all directions. Mages bustled by, armored warriors with swords floating at their backs, robed scholars carrying heavy tomes, and veiled sisters drifting wordlessly from tent to tent. At the edge of the camp, I could see the entrance to Pioneer's Pass. Long black scorch marks ran along the valley's walls, and huge chunks of stone had been blasted away. It looked as scarred as we were. A battle had been fought here. Galen had gotten his counter-ambush after all.
I take it the mages won, I said.
Zell nodded.
They did. That blast you caused was visible for miles away. When the mages saw it, they knew something had gone wrong, so they charged into the pass in battle formation. Your father's men were still waiting for their orders.
He paused.
The battle lasted less than an hour.
My father? I asked.
He escaped, along with Miles. They fled back west, along with what was left of his army.
So he lived. There was that. Zell led me toward the center of the camp. Obviously, this was where the important people were. The tents were bigger, and the mages looked older, more weathered, more serious. We passed a group of men gathered around a long table, talking in hushed tones. Galen was among them, his face healed. He met my gaze as we passed, and he gave me a quick, knowing nod. I'm pretty sure he was saying thanks. The biggest tent was right in the middle, nearly 5 times bigger than the others, with a high ceiling and an ornate gold trim. 2 hulking mages stood outside, their faces hidden behind mirrored helms, their hands encased in clawed silver gauntlets. They seemed to recognize Zell, though. One nodded, and the other pulled open the tent's flap. We stepped inside. This was obviously some kind of war room, lit up by a half-dozen floating balls of light. Stacks of books and maps lined the tent's walls, and a massive dark wood table took up most of the room. A map rested on top of it, not a flat drawing like I'd always seen, but an actual tiny version of the West, like the world's most detailed dollhouse, complete with snow-tipped mountains and little green forests and even running rivers that flowed impossibly up to the edge of the table. Dozens of little ivory figurines had been set up all over it, toy soldiers with house banners hoisted over them, all the armies of the West laid out. At any other point in my life, I would have been totally fascinated and probably spent hours just staring at it. But now, I was mostly interested in the person standing behind the table. Liriana had cleaned up and looked amazing. She wore a shimmering black dress and a beaded gold circlet, and her hair was braided in a handful of intricate circling braids. She was talking to a tall man in an ornate robe, but she spun toward me the moment I walked in.
Tilla!
She sprinted toward me, almost knocking the table over.
You're awake!
She grabbed me in a ferocious hug, and I stumbled backward. Zell had to catch us.
Easy, there,
he said.
Tilla is still a little weak.
Sorry,
Liriana said, but she kept hugging me, just as tightly.
I'm just so happy to see you again.
I grinned and hugged her back. It's good to see you, too.
So this is the famous Talandra,
the man in the ornate robe said, his voice low and silky. He stepped toward us, and now I could see him clearly in the tent's soft light. He was young, maybe 20, tall and thin, with skin as dark as Liriana's, and a face that looked uncannily like hers as well. His hair was neatly curled around his head, and a thin, stubbly beard lined his elegant jaw. His eyes burned a furious red, like the brightest roses in Lady Evelyn's garden. He strode across the room, his crimson robe billowing out behind him like a cape, and bowed his head ever so slightly.
It's my honor to meet you.
My cousin, Alarion,
Liriana introduced. I didn't know if I was supposed to bow or offer my hand or what, so I just kind of stood there. Alarion didn't seem put out.
Liriana told me everything you did for her. My family owes you a debt beyond words. When you arrive at Lightspire, I shall ensure that you want for nothing.
All I want now is a hot bath and a cold drink, I replied. Alarion smirked.
A girl after my own heart,
he said as Liriana rolled her eyes. Was he hitting on me? That would be weird, right? I glanced to Zell for help, but he was standing by the war table, head cocked to the side as he studied the pieces.
"Kent's men flee to Castle Waverly," he said. "Will you ride after them?"
Alarion scowled.
"As badly as I want to. We must hold and wait for reinforcements. For orders from King Leopold. We came out here prepared for an incursion into Zatochi lands. Not a damned Second Great War."
He turned to me.
"A special caravan will take you three back to Lightspire. I'll ride with you the whole way, just in case. My cousin is heir to the throne. Her safety is paramount."
I swear, his red eyes actually flickered, like a candle's flame.
"But I will return here. Lord Kent will be brought to justice. He'll pay for what he did to my father, I promise you that."
I tried to think of a suitable response to that, but came up empty. The truth is, I just didn't care anymore. They could lock my father away in the darkest dungeon or mount his head on the walls of Castle Waverly. It didn't matter. That part of my life was done. I was alive. Lyrianna and Zell were alive, and we'd escaped. That was all I cared about. That, and one other thing. "Jax," I said softly, a cold, hard knot twisting in my stomach. "Did you get him?" Lyrianna nodded.
"Come with me. I'll show you."
Lyrianna, Zell, and I left Alarion in the central tent and set back out across the camp. Lyrianna led now, Zell and me following close behind. At the sight of the princess, mages dropped to their knees, heads bowed. She waved at them with the back of her hand, and her fingers sparkled. She'd gotten new rings to replace her old ones. There was something else on her arm, too. A black square of charred flesh where she'd been burned. I blinked and then realized. Her tattoo. The flowering sigil of the Sisters of Kaia. It was gone. Lyrianna caught me staring.
"They burned it off me this morning," she said. "Don't worry, it doesn't hurt."
"Doesn't hurt? What? Why did they burn it in the first place?" Lyrianna cocked her head to the side, like she was almost amused.
"I killed men, Tilla. I used my magic to take lives. I broke my vows. I could not stay among the sisters, not after that."
But you broke your vows for them," I stammered. "You did it for a good cause."
"If we could break our vows whenever a good cause came along, they wouldn't be very good vows, would they?" Lyrianna said. "Relax, Tilla. I made my choice. I'm ready to live with it."
"If you're not a sister of Kaia, then what are you?"
Zell asked.
"An apostate. A mage without a school."
Lyrianna smiled, her eyes sparkling with mischief.
"A bastard."
I wanted to press further, but then we'd walked across the camp's western border. I inhaled sharply, where there had once been a wide, grassy plain. There was now a sprawling graveyard, an endless field of burial mounds as far as the eye could see. Each had a single plant growing out of it, a tall, green stalk with an orange and black flower at the head. An elder bloom. The flower of the Valeris dynasty, of the kingdom of Novaris. I guess that's how mages were buried. And I was looking at a whole forest of them. "How many mages died?" I asked.
250,
Lyrianna replied. "And how many of my father's men?" Lyrianna bit her lip.
1,000.
1,000, I repeated. 1,000. 1,000 men dead because of me. 1,000 sons, brothers, fathers, men of the West. Had I known any of them? Had I seen them training in the barracks or marching by the castle? Had they understood even remotely what they were fighting for? A cold wind blew over us. The elder blooms swayed from side to side. Tears stung my eyes. "Did we do the right thing?" I asked. Zell wrapped an arm around me and pulled me close.
"We didn't do the wrong thing. That might be all we get."
"I think I'm okay with that."
"I am too."
Come on, Lyrianna said. I'll show you to Jax.
The graves of the non-mages were at the far end of the field, where the stretch of yellowing grass gave way to forest. The mounds here didn't have elder blooms, of course, but that didn't make them unmarked. Some had swords planted at their heads, others staffs or shields or a stack of books. Jax's grave was at the very end of the field, under the shadow of the forest. A tiny tree grew at the head, and I could make out small, yellow-orange fruits hidden in its leaves.
A peach tree, I choked out. I think he would have been happy with it, Lyrianna replied with a sad smile.
He would have been happy you cared. I walked over to the grave, my knees trembling, and hunkered down alongside it. Zell and Lyrianna stood back, and I ran my hand along the tree, and I smelled that damp earth. I couldn't think about the fact that Jax's body was just beneath me, but he was down there, cold and gray and dead. So I closed my eyes, and I just touched the tree's rough bark, and I talked to him, as if he were sitting by my side, like he had for so many years.
"Guess I'm going to Light Spire after all," I said.
"Can't believe you won't be there to see it with me. Almost makes me not want to go." My eyes burned. I blinked the tears away. Jax wouldn't want me to sit here all weepy. He'd want me to go on, to live life, to get drunk and have adventures and be happy.
"Shit, Jax. I'm going to miss you so much. I'm never going to forget you. Not ever."
I took a handful of earth up and pressed my hand to my lips, letting it trickle out through my fingers. Lyrianna knelt down by my side and wordlessly reached out, running her fingers along the tree. Her golden eyes glistened with tears.
"Did you mean what you said back in the tower?" I asked. "Did you really love Jax?"
"I did." She closed her eyes.
"I do."
I wrapped my arm around her shoulders and pulled her close. We had the same aching wound inside us, the same emptiness that would never be filled. Being together, holding each other, it didn't make the pain go away. But at least we had someone to share its sting.
"We'll see you again, Jax," Lyrianna whispered to the gently swaying tree. "In the stars above, when the Titans take us."
"Just save a little wine for us, okay?" I added, and I could almost hear him laugh. I stood up and turned away from the grave. I'd done what I had to, and I couldn't stay any longer, not without breaking down in tears. I helped Lyrianna to her feet. "When do we leave for Lightspire?"
"Tomorrow morning, and I made sure we'd all be in a carriage together."
I turned to Zell. "So, you're coming with us?"
"I am."
I hesitated, terrified to ask the question gnawing at me from within, but I couldn't hold it back. "And then, when we get there?" Zell chose his words slowly and carefully.
"I will not kneel. I will not serve. I am Azutochi, first and forever, and my loyalty will always be to my people."
His eyes shifted toward Lyrianna, and she nodded.
"But I have had some conversation with Lyrianna on this topic, and she has convinced me that I will hold far more influence at her side, speaking to the nobles at Lightspire, than I would dying in the mud with some band of cutthroats."
"So you're saying..." He leaned in and kissed me, long and deep, his arms firm around my waist, his body warm against mine, our hearts beating together. When we pulled away, he pressed his forehead against mine, his eyes looking right into me.
"I'm never leaving your side again."
Lyrianna grinned.
"You two are absolutely adorable. Can I just say that? Because you are."
"I've never been called adorable before,"
Zell mused. I threw one arm around his shoulders and one around Lyrianna's. "You'd better get used to it." For one fleeting second, the weight of the moment hit me. My life as I knew it was over. I was going to Lightspire, the greatest city, capital of all of Novaris. What the hell was I going to do there? Where would I live? How would I fit in? Who would I even be if not a Westerner, if not a bastard? And just as quickly as it had come, that panic vanished. Who cared if I didn't know where to live or what to do? I'd have Lyriana there, my best friend, my sister, and we'd take care of each other no matter what happened. I'd have Zell, and in his arms I'd never be afraid or lost. We'd crossed a province, faced Scarlings and mercenaries, and saved innocent lives. What the hell couldn't we do? The sun was starting to set, its broad orange disk slipping behind the trees to the west. Beyond them lay my father and Miles and their war. Beyond them lay Castle Waverly and my past. I turned my back on them, and the three of us walked into camp together. The princess and the Satochi and the bastard, holding each other up, not letting each other go. We were family now. More family than I'd ever had. I held Zell and Lyriana close, and we walked as one. To the camp. To the future. To the wide and uncertain east. The End. This is Brittany Presley. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Royal Bastards by Andrew Schwartz. Recorded Books offers a wide selection of bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. So look for us at your public library or on download sites online. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.